You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top news from the world of work for the month gone by. This is Apoorva.
And this is Ankita.
And today we are changing things up a little bit. It's once in a blue moon that we park aside our usual format to do a deep dive into the question, is HR at an inflection point? Now, not to ruin the suspense, but the whole world is at an inflection point. But because we deal with the world of work, we are sticking to HR.
In today's episode, we are covering three big shifts. Well, because we love the number three, if you haven't gathered already. We'll share a little bit about the trends, the news, and why we think they will reimagine how work gets done in the future. So buckle up and let's jump straight into it.
Hey, hold on, Ankita. Before we jump in, do you realize that we are in the middle of summer and it's time of the year when we usually encourage everyone to take some time off for, you know, some mid-year relaxation and reflection? Now, about me, I have an almost 10-month-old. So I'm mostly trying to relax at home as my parents are here to help me with the baby. And every now and then I'm taking them sightseeing and I'm feeling like a tourist all over again in the Bay Area. What are your plans, Ankita?
Well, first, I can't believe it's been 10 months. Time does pass by quickly, and I do like the idea of being a tourist in your own city. That's always a good summer plan. Now, I'm traveling for half of July. I am in Germany for 2 weeks and then for work, and then in Italy for one for play. I'm really looking forward to it because I'm going to a couple of places I've never been before. And of course, all of the pasta I'm going to eat.
I am so, like, I'm really envying your summer plans right now. And I think I'm now going to dream all about pasta all summer long. Anyway, bandits, I hope you all take some time to recharge and if you haven't already. With that, let's jump into our three shifts that are position to change how we get work done.
Okay, so our first of three trends falls into the bucket of geopolitical shifts that we are seeing across the world. Now, this is a little bit of a cheat because we are bundling a whole bunch of trends into one. But let's start with one that really stands out for me, and that is the rise in support for nationalism, protectionism, and sovereignty around the world. This can be witnessed by election results that have happened in the year so far, with a rise in support for right-wing political parties and a move to reduce dependencies outside of their own country. There's also a rising resistance to immigration. And I think these set of trends raise a couple of areas to watch out for. When I started my career, I started it in the era of globalization, where work and people flowed as opportunities flowed. Organizations could set up and shut down locations depending on where talent was available and were usually able to support immigration of talent where required. Now, most global organizations across many countries have a global workforce, and the move towards nationalism puts this flow of talent under threat, and it needs us to require thinking about talent acquisition and location investment differently. Organizations could in the past establish a large presence in locations that attracted a huge number of immigrants. Example, Berlin or Dublin have a lot of interest from Eastern Europe, Asia, and Africa. And these organizations may now have to start thinking differently about the long-term sustainability of teams where protectionism impacts immigration. Now, this also means thinking differently about retention of already present talent in those locations and their safety. And these aren't aspects that organizations have had to consider deeply in the past. I think this stood out for me when one of my colleagues recently quoted the term deglobalization and asked if a lot of US workers were now choosing to move to the EU and how it would impact our talent strategy and if we were ready to capitalize on it. I think that moment really led to me realizing that there's probably a gap in our strategy and thinking, and that every aspect of how we attract and retain talent is impacted by geopolitics, and we need to rethink hiring, retention, long-term investment in locations. Apoorva, I said a whole lot. What is your stance?
This was kind of an eye-opener for me, Ankita, because I had not thought about this rise in right-wing politics leading to an impact on site strategy of organizations moving forward, right? Being in the US, there's a lot of talk about how right-wing politics is influencing a change in DEI policies. However, it has a long-term impact on how we attract, retain talent, and also where we hire talent moving forward. Where do we choose to invest moving forward? So I'm going to take that as a learning from today's podcast. Now, in a similar vein, another big shift that I think falls into this category are the rising conflicts around the world. There are organizations that have teams in Russia, Ukraine, Israel, and even India and Pakistan that are directly impacted within these countries, that get directly impacted when these countries are in conflict. Additionally, organizations employ individuals from these countries who are at war with each other, which really requires a shift from how we've operated when the world is at peace. Firstly, we need to mobilize support in these regions to employees directly impacted. For example, Israel has conscription, which is military service, and so does Ukraine to some extent, which could include employees. So we need to have the right support and business model built to be able to respond to these situations. Quite possible these employees are going to take extended, like indefinite time off until things get resolved as they get called for service. It also means that we are nimble in global communication so that leaders who are based elsewhere in the world are able to pivot plans while maintaining empathy. Now, I also realize that this is easier said than done. As HR professionals, though, we need to be able to maintain a pulse and close connection to teams that can predict and respond to these conflicts to help the organization respond locally as well as communicate globally on potential impact. And we need to have policies in place that support employees that get directly involved in a conflict like this.
I agree. And I think there is something to be said about mental health here. Like it's for the organizations as a whole, but also for our profession, because these actions are not easy. And then, of course, I don't want to mention the word tariffs, because that alone has a large impact on profitability and viability of organizations. It is no small feat to shut down entire factories in countries and then establish them in a different location. So I do think geopolitical shifts around the world are placing unprecedented pressure on how we think about how, where, and by who work gets done, and how do we support the growth and sustainability of the organization. So hopefully, like I think as on the pod, we'll keep discussing the topics and their impacts, but we as a function do need to get savvier on geopolitics sooner than just being reactive and being caught by surprise. So that's our big tectonic shift one. Apoorva, do you want to take us to the next?
Absolutely. So let's now moving on to a totally different but not a totally new shift, which is technological. First, so Ankita, do you remember the time in, I think, 2015 or 2014 when Google's people operations, which also known as HR function, made headlines when their CHRO published work rules?
Yes, and I know that you're a big fan of Laszlo Bock because you somehow find a way to mention him in every single conversation of ours.
Yes, so side note and a wink, wink, hint, hint to Laszlo Bock to join us on our podcast someday. Anyway, back to the topic. So I think that moment back in 2015 was a pioneering one for the HR function, which led to formalize and scale the philosophy that HR should be data driven. And that's what led to the birth of HR analytics and practices that are data backed, things that exist and organizations aim to perfect even today. I really think that we are at a similar moment with respect to Gen AI's impact on HR. Now this impact is in various shades. Firstly, there's the impact on nature of work itself, with cognitive tasks being performed by AI. Skills like decision-making, judgment, and creativity is where humans will shift towards. Job boundaries will become increasingly blurred as functions will likely look very different, because AI would enable people to do multiple things. So imagine a marketer who's also writing code, or an engineer who can now draft a legal brief. So needless to say, there's all this impact. And then there's, of course, productivity boost, especially when Gen AI applications and agents become more and more sophisticated and seamless. And if I have to quote what Salesforce CEO Marc Benioff recently said, and I quote, "All of us have to get our head around this idea that AI could do things that before we were doing, and we can move on to do higher value work." He said this in an interview with Bloomberg. noting that the technology currently accounts for about 30 to 50% of the company's work.
So what does this really mean for HR? Now, I think one answer is, you know, you can see it in Moderna's shift where they merged then HR and IT departments. I do think our function is up for a huge rebranding where we move from purely humans to humans plus agents plus multiple technologies, because the way work gets done will shift. Now, this means we probably, apart from a rebranding, also have to look at a lot of tasks being automated. Things like HR operations, query management, first level support to managers. These might all just get taken over by agents. On the other hand, I think that there is a danger of over-reliance on AI in specific spaces. And I do want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who actually dropped a message to us on LinkedIn and said, hey, you need to talk about the fact that AI isn't this silver bullet that's supposed to solve every single problem that's out there. And I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that an over-reliance on these systems can risk us all sounding the same and coming up with the same solutions, which is not really the best way to go ahead. Now, brainstorming through ChatGPT might save time, but it also flattens the edges of original thinking. I think, of course, your solutions will get sophisticated with time as your AI agent will be able to pull from organizational context. But organizations that stand out or want to stand out can't afford to let AI do all the thinking. Leaders need to redesign roles so that AI handles the heavy lifting, which is like data synthesis, automation, and analysis, while humans can focus on higher order tasks like designing new experiences, exploring unconventional ideas, and challenging assumptions.
Yeah, and you know, I was reading recently about how there will be a premium moving forward when you are interacting with an actual human, for example, on something like a customer services. What does all of this mean for us bandits? So there's no second guessing that we have to get our act together with respect to integrating Gen AI on what we do as a function and how we deliver for the business. So firstly, if you aren't already, make sure that in your work, you are reimagining everything you do by utilizing Gen AI as a colleague, not just as a productivity booster. But imagine if you were working on something, how would you leverage your colleague and try to leverage Gen AI in the same way? However, continue to use your own judgment and critical thinking. Don't just take like a cookie cutter approach where the model throws something at you and you try to implement exactly the same thing. Secondly, depending on what function within HR you are a part of, think of AI's impact and build it into your own goals and plans. So for example, if you run an L&D function, don't just upskill employees on Gen AI and roll out seemingly cool L&D agents. I mean, do all of that, but also determine what skills will be more valuable in the future and help employees build those skills moving forward. Like Ankita spoke about, creativity, decision-making being those premium skills in the future. If you are an HRBP, think of what capabilities and efficiency your business stands to gain by utilizing Gen AI and how it changes their employee mix moving forward. So this really isn't a wait for the business command anymore. It's time for us to act as owners and drive actual change.
I agree. I think there is no denying the fact that Gen AI will change how work gets done. And like, I think it's a challenge for us bandits to actually think, I'm going to set aside 2 hours every single week to try and figure out how this is going to impact the future of work and not just the now of work. Because like, no, I have a feeling no matter how much we prepare, we will get left behind. So the more we do, the better. Okay, with that, I'm going to take us to our... Sorry, Apurva, you're saying something?
No, I was just saying, I think enough of it, Ankita. Let's move to the next one.
Okay, I am going to take us to our final tectonic shift. Let's do it. Let's talk about the word that HR loves, culture. Now, there are many, many visible shifts in culture that are happening. And I think the fundamental root cause is that the relationship with work is shifting all over again. Now, we have seen an employee-employer relationship shift through the generations. And I have a few assumptions, and ChatGPT says I'm correct. Now, I don't know whether it's tuned to always say that I'm right, but here's what my assumption is. I think there was a point of time where individuals derived great purpose from their work and worked because they saw meaning in it versus the pure extrinsic motivation it provides in terms of monetary benefit and social status. Individuals would stay with an organization because they felt like they were a part of a meaningful machinery. Then came along the job hopping culture, where you were in it for the extrinsic value. And I think in recent times, we've come full circle where employees want to work for an organization that vibes with their core values and gives them some sense of purpose and mission. They want organizations to clearly state what they stand for and sometimes even go on and make political statements. And I don't know whether we remember the great resignation trend that was happening a long time ago, way before the layoffs became a thing, that kind of indicated our shift towards the whole mission and purpose. I do think that this shift is fueled by the ability to be able to now create multiple income streams and the falling entry-level barriers in being able to establish your own business and brand and getting your voice heard.
Yeah, and I think this somewhere, the last point, being able to create multiple income streams, is also related to the first tectonic shift, where there is so much uncertainty that people do want to take matters in their own hands. Additionally, I do think this trend has a few visible manifestations. So first, there's an increase in employees making their voice heard. Example, walkouts, open letters, protests, etc. And we've covered some of those in our previous podcast episodes. So at least the scale at which I'm witnessing these activities since I've started my career, which I will admit is probably not as long for comparison across decades, but I do see an increase in employee-driven movements. Second, the middle management layer seems to be becoming probably the worst place to be. I'm sorry, managers, but that really is a reality that's unfolding. And lastly, there's a big return towards top-down mandates, which is what's fueling these, you know, employee movements in many ways. So I think while there were always top-down mandates across industry, but now it's more like leaders adopting my way or the highway approach, even though employee protests continue.
Yeah, and we've been covering a lot of this news in our monthly news. And I think it is, as HR professionals, increasingly becoming our job to bridge this rising divide and ensuring organizations actually work as intended versus becoming total anarchies. I do think we need to be able to guide leaders on how to talk about purpose, bring meaning into tasks, while maintaining open dialogue and authenticity. Now, all of these are buzzwords, but they are crucial when it comes to what's the right way to respond to a protest or a walkout or open letter. Like, silence is not an option, nor is an all-out authoritarian response. So we need to be able to find what is the right balance in responding and being proactive here.
And that's where I think we as a function are uniquely positioned, because we have leaders on one side who are mostly Gen Xers, probably, maybe not baby boomers anymore. And then you have employees at entry level or middle level who are millennials and Gen Z. So the way what they aspire for is very different from what the leaders who are making these decisions aspire for. And that's where our role comes in, to bridge that gap by constantly sharing that voice of employees with our leaders who make decisions. All right. So, Bandits, those were the top three reasons why we believe HR is at an inflection point today. We really want to know in the comments on LinkedIn or via email which of these resonated with you and why. And what did we miss? Now, before we let you go back to creating your summer plans, here's a rapid fire of top three things from the world of work in June.
Yeah, you didn't think we'd forget or leave without sharing those, would you? Now, first up, there's an almost knives out treasure chest situation playing out at Meta and OpenAI for their war of AI talent. Meta has lured, apparently, three senior OpenAI researchers to their super intelligence AI teams. I heard Mark Zuckerberg is throwing these huge feasts at his own mansion, inviting all of these prospective talents and then paying them to the tune of $100 million, which is outrageous. It kind of makes me think I'm in the wrong profession. But days later, OpenAI responded to Meta's aggressive recruitment of its AI talent, saying that it's a home invasion and has assured employees that the leadership is actively engaged in retaining the senior researchers who are being poached by Meta. I do have to say, like, some of this is also CEOs and very smart leaders thinking that they don't need to listen to their HR people and just do what they think they need to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that because I can go on and on. Second one, June was also Pride Month. And an Indian organization, Tata Steel, announced its ambitious goal to achieve a 20% diverse workforce by 2028, highlighting its commitment to inclusivity. This initiative is a part of the company's decade-long Mosaic program, which has introduced progressive HR policies such as equal benefits for LGBTQIA+ partners, gender-neutral parental leave, and support for gender transition.
I am surprised though that they're calling a 20% diverse workforce an ambitious goal. I do hope that they push that percentage up. But for our third and last news piece for the month, there is one term from Microsoft's Work Trend Index report that is making waves, and that is infinite workday. So apparently all of us on average are receiving 117 emails per day and a message every 2 minutes. So essentially you're spending 2 hours just responding to emails. Forget about the messages and meetings that you're buried under. So we are under the infinite workday, and it's all the more reason to just take a vacation.
All right, bandits. So that was a lot of news and food for thought from us in this very special episode. We really can't wait to hear all about your vacation plans before our next one. So until next time, on behalf of NHRDN and Ankita, this is Apoorva, and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.